anyway, we're very happy to be here, hosted by Pinot, and particularly Kevin, who has been working a lot with us for making a signal and everything. So, boom. C'est à toi.
So, okay, I'm going to just make it very quick. As I explained to some people, like every Tuesday we meet here. And the purpose of the meeting is actually like to discuss about like the technology issues with the climatic transformation. So that's mainly like the starting point of the meeting here. It's always on Tuesday. It's always informal around the dinner. And when we were working on this Make Me a Signal, so I was doing the stream from Paris with all these different performances and events from LIMS organized by Julie, France, and Adriana. In the discussion, we heard Adriana was coming in Paris, and then we were like, okay, let's try to make a dinner together.
And Martin. Stopping by.
Martin was there, so it was like just okay, perfect moment to discuss about like, yeah, I guess radio, let's say topics, because Pinot is hosted here, because you are there, the three of you.
Yep.
So I think this is more or less the an introduction. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being there.
Yes, no, thank you.
Martin. Thank you, Kevin.
It's a pleasure to have you there.
Yes.
Thank you, Julie, for...
thank you for cooking, Julie.
The whole...
Yes, I promise, a fish head.
Thank you for the fish head.
And I guess, like, I think it has to be a very, like, informal discussion, so feel free, mm-hmm. like, anyone to ask questions or intervene. And I think the idea is also like to present your like respective practice about like radiophonic, and but it can go also a bit beyond
yeah.
radio. So like and one thing also to mention, you will also be presenting on Thursday in the OLATS meeting. Next Tuesday.
Yes, this is a
yes.
good commercial.
Yes.
Anika.
Yes, on the 26th of October, so it's a whole day, a journée d'études organized with Manuel Barros. So I think maybe there will be no MIG Tuesday.
The 26th?
Ouais. And so we can all go to.
Oh, super!
Yes.
Ça, c'est bien.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, man. Hello.
So, please.
All right.
Thank you for being there.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Julie. Great to be here with Martin. I'm here to be originally, I mean, the reason why I came down was to see Paris, because I haven't really spent much time in Paris before, but also for this event on Tuesday about what types of bodies get to go to space. And so, yeah, a lot of my work recently has been about space.
Amplifying.
No, this is for this, right?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I think, right?
You can,
yeah, sure. No worries. A lot of my research recently has been about space and what types of bodies get to go to space and how we imagine different types of queer and trans futurities in space. Some of the projects that I've been doing and things that I'll be talking more about on Tuesday have to do with this. And basically starting from a project that I sent to the International Space Station involving my hormone replacement medications. And it's called TX1, and I will just pass around sort of a model of this here. So the actual piece is on exhibition right now, but this is sort of a model of it. And so I'll just pass this around so you can sort of see. So the spheres are 4 to 5 millimeters in diameter and include fragments of sort of like a testosterone blocker and an estrogen patch and then a handmade paper sculpture. So this really isn't about radio, but I think it's related to some of the topics that you talk about in these events. You know, what types of what types of activities are allowed in space, what types of things can we do up there, what are the types of bodies that can be up there, and so forth. So I just wanted to sort of mention that as a prelude, and that's something that we can talk about more later if you're interested. So I'll talk more about the radio stuff that I've been doing, because I have sort of these two sides to things. So I've been interested in radio for a very long time, but a few years ago I ended up getting an amateur radio license. And so I sort of went through and decided to get to the highest level of the amateur radio licenses in the U.S. Because basically I wanted to play around with the possibilities of transmitting different types of signals in an artistic context all the way around the world. And so the idea here is that these sort of higher levels of the amateur radio licenses in the U.S., it allows you greater access to the shortwave spectrum. And the shortwave spectrum is basically, between like 3 megahertz up to about 30 megahertz, and you're able to start bouncing the signals off the atmosphere and be able to send the signals all the way around the world. But simultaneously, as I was sort of studying for this and studying for these this license, I was also looking at signals in a different range of the electromagnetic spectrum, the VHF and UHF spectrum. And so this is sort of at higher frequencies, you know, in the hundreds or 400 megahertz or so. And these frequencies are often the ones that transmissions from low Earth orbiting satellites are happening. So I really got interested in the communication that happens from the satellites that are orbiting the Earth that are being transmitted to machines down on Earth. So this is basically just machine communication going on between these low Earth orbiting satellites. So I started building a lot of antennas for this, basically just trying to eavesdrop on these transmissions. Because basically the idea is that these transmissions, we're not supposed to hear as humans. They're just supposed to be translated into data in the end, right? Images, what the temperature of the satellite is, what its science mission is, and so forth. And so I started doing sort of basic work building these antennas, and then creating a situation where you could then listen to this within sort of a gallery space. And so this is one of the first projects that I did around this with the very long title, "They Transmitted Continuously, But Our Times Rarely Aligned, and Their Signals Dissipated in the Ether." I was really into making something very poetic, I guess. So maybe I'll just play a short bit of this. This was like from 2018, and this was commissioned by Claudia Peterson for the gallery there, Clayton Staples Gallery, right, at Wichita State University. So Claudia is an art historian and curator at Wichita State in Wichita in Kansas in the U.S. So let me just play this. Hopefully it will load. Yes, it did. So what was interesting about this for me when I first started doing this is that, so oftentimes these satellites are transmitting in very basic kinds of modes, like Morse code, right? And it's basically because it'll cut through the noise, it'll get down to Earth really easily, even if you're not able to transmit a lot of information with it, right? But what was interesting also is that because a lot of these satellites have been up there for a long time, there's like a certain quality to their Morse code, right? It's not just like the same Morse code for every satellite or the same sound, right? There's like some of them have like this beginning sort of increase in frequency just due to sort of like the age of the electronics on the satellites, or there's some inaccuracies in terms of how the Morse code is being transmitted and so forth. So in a way, there's this like almost personality to these satellites, and like I can pick out the satellites based off of the sound of the Morse code, even though we're not supposed to hear this, right? It's supposed to just be turned into data. So I also, that was one of the things that I found really interesting about this. And sort of a whole other part of this project, which, you know, we could talk about if you're interested in it, is that I was actually making the speakers as handmade paper sculptures. So basically the speakers were piezoelectric elements, but then sort of encased between two layers of paper so that they create sort of this organic form. And so it's on the website, and I can sort of show that to you. Well, maybe I can make a quick image here if I can. Can I get down to the bottom of the page here? Yeah. Okay, so show and tell time. This is sort of what they looked like. And it was a 20-channel installation.
Oh,
yeah, 20-channel audio installation. You mean Wichita?
Oh, yeah, Kansas.
Yeah, Kansas. Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, Kansas, and specifically the city of Wichita, is one of the centers for aerospace research in the U.S. and drone research these days as well. Historically, going back, to the 20s or something like this, right? And so Wichita State University is a public university in the U.S., but there's also a huge part of the university that is off limits because it's all military, Department of Defense contractor research. And they're doing a lot of work these days on drones and different types of autonomous, quote unquote, vehicles and so forth. A lot of this is also about, trying to recapture some of this space, access to this space, the Hertzian space, as we were talking about for Make Me a Signal. That was sort of the first project that I started doing with radio. I always wanted to start working with the transmission side of radio. The difficulty is most of the time when you're transmitting, you're supposed to be transmitting to another person. And that's hard because there's not a lot of artists working in sort of this type of transmission activities, especially on the shortwave spectrum. So one thing that you can do is you can start transmitting more beacon-like transmissions. So basically these are things that you could just sort of send out there into the ether without necessarily having to have someone at the other end listening to it. And so due to an invitation from Shuli last year for C-Lab, the LabKill Lab project in Taipei, I did this project, Exomio Fragmissions, where I was sort of trying to transmit representations of transgender genetic sequences or things that were purportedly a way of determining transgenderness in genetic code. And so there was a whole project about questioning this and sort of having conversations about this as well, which we did remotely because of COVID. But then I was also trying to transmit this using a particular mode called FT8, which is a way of transmitting data on the shortwave spectrum where you can basically, transmit small little bits of data, so 15 characters or so, but you can do it with very, very low power and can transmit basically all the way around the world. So at the time, I was doing a residency in Ljubljana in Slovenia, but we were trying to transmit to Taipei and Taiwan. And that would have worked, except for it was not good weather to be outside. So I was trying to transmit with an indoor antenna, which didn't really work very well. We have a recording of the performance. So let me just briefly play a bit of this. Let's see if this video will load. So you get an idea of what this sort of stuff sounds like. I'm going to try and, oops. Maybe I'll go to Vimeo to do this because it's loading a little strangely on here. Sorry, just bear with me with the tech stuff for a bit. Where's an M? Trying to learn every different keyboard layout. Vimeo. Oops. Okay. Maybe I won't play this because I'm having a hard time loading it up. But I can play it for you later. But anyway, so this was one of the first times where I was trying to do some actual transmissions in the shortwave spectrum. And then, through another invitation from Shuli, got to take part with this Make Me a Signal project that in Linz as part of Stadtwerkstatt 48x7. And so Shuli, myself, and Franz Xavier Zav, we are co-curating this four-hour extravaganza of different artists dealing with radio and transmission.
12.
Oh, yeah, exactly, 12. 12 groups. 12 artists, 10 groups, whatever. Lots of artists. and so this is actually sort of a beginning event for something that we want to do in a much larger scale next year on the Stubnitz boats in Hamburg, right? Yeah. It's in Hamburg right now for this project called Radiotopia, and sort of an exploration of radio and radiophonic spaces as a potential utopia, and sort of talking about this and relationships to who gets to transmit, what types of things we can transmit, how we can sort of take back some of these spaces. And so as part of the event in Linz, also had a conversation with Zav about Hertzian space and who has access to it, and how sort of access is being restricted a lot of times these days, because basically every time there's a new sort of digital technology, there's also some wireless part of it, and then they want more access to the spectrum, so that sort of takes spectrum away from people being able to transmit. And so Zav and I had a conversation about why is there no space on the spectrum for the artists to be able to do things. So then as my contribution to this Make Me a Signal event, I did this project called Constructed Amateur Warblings. Warbling is sort of like this English word meaning like things waving up and down a little bit. It sort of, yeah, has different, it's, modulations and things like that. So I was sort of really interested in the sounds of the types of transmissions that you could make as someone who's transmitting on the radio. So rather than being interested in the actual data that you're transmitting or the actual sort of content, I was interested in how you can massage and transform that content into something that sounded a particular way. And so I chose this way of transmitting called slow scan television, which is a very old way of transmitting images over radio. And the images are very small. It's like 320 pixels by 256 pixels. And but you can sort of construct the image that you're sending so that it sounds in a particular way. And so I ended up writing some code that would then create an image that sort of looked like this. Okay, so
okay.
It's basically kind of a nonsense image, just a bunch of blocks of colors and everything like this. But it would sound like this. I'm getting the little spinning dial. Uh-oh. Oh, I think I lost
the Wi-Fi. Oh, yes.
Oh, there we go. So this particular mode of transmitting kind of has a beat that's like 140 beats per minute. So basically, I felt like I was transmitting hardcore techno, some form of hardcore techno. So this is actually being transmitted live on the 20-meter band. So it meant that anyone who was listening to the bands that day on amateur radio would have been hearing this. And they could have turned it into the images, but it was more about what you were actually hearing on the bands. So I'm very interested in how do we sort of create these modes of transmission that sort of highlights the sounds that they make rather than just the content. Rather than everything about radio being about efficiency, how can it also have some different types of aesthetic or artistic qualities to it? So that's something that I want to explore more, and maybe we'll be able to do it for this Radiotopia, do some more stuff with this. Maybe I'll just stop there.
Thank you.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I think you should at some point talk to them about the radio that started it all.
Which radio that started it all?
Was it the text by Louis and Guattari that you tried to sonify?
Which project is this?
This is Cornell.
Yeah, I know. I remember. But I don't remember.
It was like an internet radio.
Oh yeah, that project. I don't know. That's a totally different project, but it was It is true. I had this project.
It has to do with access.
It's true. No, it's a good thing to try and briefly talk about. Okay, so long ago when I was in grad school, I did this project called Journal of Journal Performance Studies. And it was about access to academic documents, academic articles and so forth. And the fact that, you know, they're so expensive, right? And it's very hard to get access to these things. So I basically imagined a future where you wouldn't be able to download these things because it would be too expensive or there would be too many restrictions. And that the only way to get access to it was to take the actual files themselves and turn them into sound and transmit them over the radio. So I did a whole project where, I turned these PDF files into a stream of noise or a stream of Morse code encoding the binary values of the PDF and so forth, and created sort of a whole automated internet radio station that was about transmitting these things over there and imagining some future where it's not possible to get access to academic articles.
And it was right
after the MIT. Because I was I did my master's at MIT, and it was shortly before Aaron Schwartz committed suicide. He was basically trying to do the same thing, you know, but in a different way. So, it was very much in response to that. So, cool. I ran that internet radio station for, 5 or 6 years. So it doesn't run anymore, but the archives are all online. Cool. Okay, so maybe I'll stop.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is such a fantastic occasion.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Super
because,
awesome.
Because particularly to be held by Pinot,
exactly.
We can talk about radio transmission and all that. Then next we're going to hand it to Martin.
Okay.
House.
thank you, Shirley. Kevin. Yeah, I don't know what I should really talk about. No, I'm joking.
you could talk our ears off.
Yeah, I know. Would you really want that, though?
I have 10 minutes. Come on.
Okay, I'll go really fast. I'm going to transmit my whole... No, it just reminds... Like,
you
so
need a computer, no?
No.
To get access to your site.
No.
You don't want nothing?
No, it's fine.
You don't want to showcase
radio noise?
No, I can't. Somehow I was just reminded of a few invention.
No,
just so many kind of like No, thank you
for
this inspiring talk, and thank you, Kevin, Julie. But just so many, like, I don't know, so many crossovers of just like in the last thing, which made me quite excited. But also, like, and you're talking of like 10 minutes to speak, and I have like one of my most recent radio projects was to attempt to transmit the contents of my laptop, like the whole hard drive, to transmit it, but secretly. So unless you were kind of eavesdropping in on this transmission, you would not know that this. So everything, passwords, the whole shebang, was just leaked out and broadcast, but embedded in certain network protocols, so ping packets. So you could easily pick these up, intercept them, decode them. But you could also listen to this, and it had a very, like, similar to the warbling, like this very strict kind of rhythmic structure. So I kind of, like, pretty much what I'm behind that is this kind of constant interest in this kind of overlap between these kind of, like, protocols and symbolic structures, like, which you're also talking about a lot, of, like, how you can hear these things and hear the signatures of the satellites in this Morse code. So the Morse code is a kind of protocol, but the signature is itself something material, you know, like what you're hearing is like the, you know, leaking components or the changes that have happened over time as this thing is circling the Earth. So this is something which is, but that's kind of like stuck on top of this protocol. And for me, it's just like that kind of intersection of the material and the protocol is like what I'm kind of interested in, like how these things could possibly like exist together. Like, why is there not this world of pure protocols without this, or pure humans, or so not pure in the sense of something like that, but you know what I mean, of like this kind of decay of symbolic structures or something like this. And it also reminded me of the warbling, which is kind of a silly anecdote, but I was thinking, okay, it's kind of nice to pick up these weather satellites, which people were also doing during the Make Me a Signal, like this kind of practice of really like eavesdropping on these satellites and making images of as they come over, so you can kind of more or less like choose a satellite, have this software which tells you like, oh, it's coming now, and you see like this little blob on your laptop like coming towards where you're supposed to be, let's say in Berlin. And so I go outside with this kind of antenna on a piece of wood and the laptop and this kind of very cheap sound, how's this called, like digital RTL SDR software defined radio thing, but and try and pick up these signals. And I was like, I would go outside, the satellite is there, I have everything ready, and I hear this kind of noise, like white noise on my headphones, and I'm like, it must be there, like it's there, like that's it. It's just I can't recognize it, and I have the software, and it's just like comes out as noise. And the first time I heard the actual real, whatever that means, signal was so exciting, because it was like, you know when it's there, because it just has this really strict rhythm and structure, and even though the image is kind of punctuated and noisy sometimes, it's still like, I don't know, this kind of idea of just like searching for something within that whole universe of noise. And it's not necessarily about that you want structure within that noise, but that it's kind of somehow this kind of intersection of the material and the protocol, and that it's something which is also kind of quite like cosmic in a sense. The what is the kind of materiality, or something which always like obsessed me from the beginning, was like when you talk about like electromagnetic waves, like what is the materiality of them, like what do they really consist of? And it's like, and I found this kind of, this was years ago when I first started with this project called Detectors, where we would do workshops. People would build these devices where they could hear whatever was out there in the ether, let's say, and make walks and experience the space according to this thing or this. And then I found out that there is nothing material within this. Like it's, and I've had, there was like this wonderful, not wonderful quote, which I found in some academic paper, of like that this is a question that only children ask because it's just stupid to ask it. But it's still something which I think is important if you think about the utopian aspects of Hertzian space, is this kind of materiality and this cosmic component of this, which is part of that materiality. Like, what is it that is flying around or not even flying around?
I just want to cut in to say, for me, this is phenomenal. It's a historical moment for Adriana to meet with Martin Haus, two artists I admire. This is the most historical moment. These two artists I admire now. And, of course, Martin Haus, I have collaborated with Martin Haus since 2002. And Adriana is an artist. I started collaborating
last year,
2020. So I think
you watch out.
I know we're still here.
Yeah.
So, but tonight it is about the signal. Yeah, it is about how we send signal, how we continue the signal, and I just really want to say that particularly because of the whole COVID situation, you know, here we are, like somehow we are here outdoor. Freezing, but at least we don't have to wear the mask. And Kevin, merci beaucoup. Kevin is, of course, Kevin has been my big collaborator for all these years. And at this particular moment, I mean, I just want to thank you all, but okay, let's continue this debate.
We have
10 minutes. I have the 10 minutes.
No. 3 minutes. No, I want to hear more, talk more.
I know, but it's like, okay, the rest is Adrian. No, it's about me. It's not about me. You don't want to get into my thing. Okay, it's between Adriana and Martin and Pinot, and I think we should talk about, like, you know, because the whole idea for this project, for this gathering, while I'm cooking a fish fucking head, is about the next year we want to meet all together at Dunitz, in Hamburg.
Yeah.
And we want to start this idea of radio network, you know, so I want to open the conversation.
Can we just call Zav?
Why not?
But maybe it's good if you explain what will be Radiotopia, or what do you have in mind?
No, so in this year, in September, we started this idea of Make Me a Signal, and we invite 12 artists for 4 hours stream project. But the whole thing is like a prelude to make Radiotopia, because politically, you join.
Okay. Politically. I'll take over. Yeah, so, I mean, like, it's about having the access to transmit instead of, like, you know, it's a question of the commons, right? So the radiophonic space, the Hertzian space, should have access to everyone, and it shouldn't necessarily be something where you have to be a large company or you speak in these protocols of 5G or 4G or what have you, right? It shouldn't be divvied up to whoever has the most money, right? So the idea here is to really push this idea that there's this possibility for us to have some usage of this space, and not just usage, but performances with it, the aesthetic aspects of it, the artistic engagement with it, right? Because we sort of lost that with the internet, right? Many of us are old enough to remember the early days of the internet, right? So, but we don't have that sort of space anymore at all. And I mean, I know this is very much what Zav is interested in. Before digital radio, right? Yeah, exactly. Right. So, and so much of the also sort of engaging with the amateur radio spectrum is very important to me.
Yeah.
Because the amateur radio spectrum is often, you know, no offense, but old white guys, and you know, just it's very racist and homophobic oftentimes. And so it's very important to me to have other types of people active on this space. So I'll also put in a plug for this other collective that I'm part of called Radio Amatrices, with Aphrodite Passara, Sasha Engelman, and Audrey Brio, who are also involved in Make Me a Signal. Yeah, exactly. And so, it's basically four femmes who are engaging with radio transmissions and reception, and thinking about different ways of also engaging with satellites and space and so forth. So we have what?
Daniela.
Daniela as well is involved in this for sure. The four of us
Sasha, Aphrodite, and Audrey and I, we just wrote a text that will be published soon, I think by the end of the year, that's sort of a quasi-manifesto about how we're thinking about radio in space.
Yeah, so I think for me it's very super idea, you know, to claiming, to reclaim the radio space, particularly with the Hartesian space, right?
Yep. Yep.
And for me, it's like it was amazing to, you know, through Adriana, we find all these women.
Yeah.
They are engaged in it, you know, because for me, at some point, I feel like, oh, okay, we are in this same circle. But then at the same time, we find a lot of women who are engaged in it. And I really welcome that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of this is also happening because, in a way, you know, the barriers are going down a little bit, especially with, like, the software-defined radios and things like that. You don't need €1,000 of equipment to pick up satellite signals anymore. 25 euros and some wire will get you everything you need.
No, I think it would be fantastic. Maybe this is a good point for me to introduce the start of this 2022 next year in July, because with Adriana and Zab or Stardust, we really try to see how we can bring everybody together to come to this boat. It's a boat, Stunitz in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to bring everybody there, if the budget allows, to actually talk about radio practice. You know, this is our biggest project.
Can you, because I think not anyone is familiar with what is the Stubnitz, I mean, like
C'est toi, c'est toi qui peut parler.
And the boats, the autonomous boats.
Yeah, I think it's good just to enroll a little bit.
Stubnitz, this is a very fantastic project that Stubnitz is a mobile boat. Is a boat.
No, but it's not mobile boats. I was on one.
It's true.
I was on one.
It's
a
floating boat.
The Eleanor is a non-mobile boat.
Stunis is a project started in the 90s, no?
Yeah.
And with my ex-boyfriend. Wait, it's us. It's you. Oh, anyway, Stunitz, you can check. You can Google it. STUBNITZ. Stunitz.com is a boat. It's supposed to be a kind of mobile. Come on. Evan, you can explain it better.
Oh, it's a tanker, it's old boats that have been quite autonomously run for 2 decades.
More.
For, yeah, it's
for,
a,
yeah,
three.
I remember they took Manichao 6 months with all the band. Yeah, no, it's quite famous. Based in Hamburg, the anchor is in Hamburg.
And put together by artists.
Yep.
And put together by artists.
It was an artistic project.
Yeah.
Yes. Stunitz is very special, and it's a boat now parked at the Hamburg, and it's so special for us, and I have in some way interface with this boat, and so the next year we want to do a summit, a radio summit at Stunitz.
That's nice.
And that's
Radiotopia.
Like, imagine. We are now. I'm so happy we don't have to do any video projection.
That's the Radiotopia.
Exactly.
We'll just be infused by it all. Just infuse ourselves with the electromagnetic radiation.
Exactly. So we can talk about these maybe in a very more relaxed mode. And so we should end this nice presentation and welcome everybody to some food.
Yes.
And then we can then
yeah,
fuck
talk.
Each other.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup. Merci beaucoup pour la présentation, Kevin.
Serge, your certification.